Welcome to Just Thinking with hosts Daryl Harrison and Virgil Walker, bringing you week-to-week cultural apologetics as well as social issues from a biblical worldview. This is Just Thinking. Let's think.
We're back. It's another edition of the Just Thinking podcast. I am Virgil Walker.
And I am Daryl Harrison. What's going on out in Nebraska?
Not much, man. What's going on with you? I'm excited, man, for this particular episode because we have a very special guest with us, man. This is the first time we have ever had a guest on the Just Thinking podcast, man.
Yeah, sure. And it's close to 80 episodes we've done now.
Right.
Close to 80 episodes over the past, 16 months now? And this is the first time we've had a guest. I'm not gonna call this guy a very special guest because I don't want this guy's head blowing up. He's the guest. He's the first guest we've ever had.
Right.
On the podcast. But yeah, we'll explain later.
I know he's got to be feeling extra special. You know, I mean, he gets to hear us on a constant basis do what we do, and now he gets to come on and join us on the air. I am talking about the hardest working man in podcast land. That's Mr. Dwayne Atkinson. How you doing, brother Dwayne?
What's up, fellas? Wow, what an introduction.
Come on, Dwayne. Now, before you get started, man, during post-production, don't go back and add some applause to your
brother. It's coming, dog. It's coming. It is coming, brother. You better believe that.
No doubt. Well, we're excited to have you, man. And, you know, the three of us, man, you know, none of us are strangers to each other in that we are constantly, you know, texting, tweeting, you know, acting a fool in all the different various media platforms that we use. But, man, it's great to have you kind of on the show. I wanted to, you know, Daryl and I had been talking about, you know, wanting to do a Just Thinking kind of 200K episode. And I mean, we've kind of blown through that just a little bit at this point. But man, we wanted to bring you on and have you kind of we're recognizing we're getting brand new listeners all the time. And so while we reference you from time to time on the show or reference the bar or reference something else, we thought it'd be good for us to just pause and just, first of all, give a great thanks to our listeners who followed us this far and wanted to kind of just take a minute and talk through kind of what you were thinking with regard to creation of the show, what Daryl and I have been through, and just kind of have a more relaxed approach to what we do and really inform not only our new listeners, but those who've been with us for a while, kind of let them know where we are, where we've been, kind of where we're going. So with that, man, I want to let you introduce yourself to our audience, kind of give them your background, your info, and anything you want to share, man.
Thank you, sir. Well, you know, I appreciate you guys having me on. Honored to be the very first guest. And I'm going to introduce myself as Daryl does every week. I am Dwayne Atkinson, hailing all the way from South Carolina, originally from North Carolina, husband of one wife. I got four kids, full-time job, and I do this podcast thing that I'm really, really passionate about, man. And so that's me in a nutshell, man. Just love God, people, love to see things, you know, give him glory, love to do things to give him glory, and definitely love working with you guys, man. It's a joy, the interaction, the banter that the people don't see. I mean, that in itself, man, is exciting, man. So I'm just grateful to be here.
Cool. Yeah,
and Dwayne and Virg, let me interject something here just real quick.
Sure.
This what you just heard, listeners, as Dwayne was introducing himself to you, is why we call this man the hardest working man in podcast land, because, and Dwayne will say more about this a little bit later, but this guy manages multiple podcasts.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Multiple podcasts in addition to managing a family. You know, he's married, four kids, full-time job, So when we refer to Dwayne as the hardest working man in podcast land, it is no joke. I mean, he earned that moniker. So I just want to give some context to why we refer to you by that name, Dwayne. So I just want to make sure the folks understood. And one other thing before I throw it back to Dwayne. Omaha, this is the first episode we've done, not only that where we have a guest on the show, but this is the first time we haven't really had to prepare for an episode. So it was kind of different not having to study and prepare and compose notes because, I mean, that's what we normally do every week. We prepare really hard for every episode, but it's really kind of relaxed, kind of a weird way of relaxing for this episode because we didn't have to do any preparation for it.
Right.
So none of what our listeners are going to hear in this episode is scripted. None of this is choreographed. We're just winging it.
Yeah.
Right now, yeah. But as Omaha said earlier in the open, we've been doing the podcast now for about 16 months, and we just surpassed 213,000 downloads. And I'll let Dwayne explain the significance of that. But I just wanted to give Dwayne his props for earning that nickname for the hardest working man in podcast land.
Yeah, I wanted to tee it up by asking Dwayne. I'll toss it to you, brother. Which is, you know, how many shows do you do, and what does that take in the way of prep and all of that kind of stuff? I mean, that's a lot of time and energy, man, that you're putting kind of behind the scenes, and maybe even shout out some of the other podcasts that are on the network, and then we'll jump right back into the significance of 200K and what that all looks like.
Sure, man. So yeah, the I call it the parent podcast, the bar podcast, which is my show. That is, you know, that was the start. And you know, I'm the host, you know, I do all the audio, all the editing, all the marketing, all the media, all that stuff for the bar. And just thinking, you guys do the post-production stuff. You guys, honestly, I don't know if your listeners really, but I know they do because I see it on Twitter. You guys really do the hard work, and you make my job really easy. But I just keep letting y'all think it's really hard. But but you guys do an excellent job, man, of being on point. And so I do post-production for Just Thinking, as well as any graphics, marketing, media stuff as well. Mm-hmm. And then also we have another show called Bars, Biblical and Reformed Spitters. Mm-hmm. This is our artists, the rappers, and my brother T. Barlow is the host of that show. And he pretty much do the same thing. He do the recording. I do the post-production. And then we've been blessed to partner with other podcasts, which are all under the Bar Podcast Network. Mm-hmm. First one I would say would be Kaleoscope, mm-hmm. Sister Ariel, and she actually does all of her recording and post production.
Wow!
And she called you guys spoiled because I do all y'all work. But
we need to get Ariel on the show and correct that. So
right.
But yeah, so I help her with the marketing media stuff as needed and post-production stuff. You know, she literally was a novice, didn't know anything about it, and was able to coach her to be able to produce her own show. Next would be Pastor Discussion, which was a podcast already in moving, had his own movement, had his own thing, and they wanted to come under our umbrella, you know, for the networking and for things like that. So I don't have to do much with their show. I do a little edits here and there, you know, with Joe, John Hawkins, those guys that passed the discussion. Recent ads have been Truth and Fire podcast with Sister Constance. A lot of people don't
she
know her
is
real name.
Fire, man.
Yeah,
she
man.
Is
yeah.
Fire.
Yeah, Constance, actually, if you watch the American Gospel documentary, she's the black girl mm-hmm. that, mm-hmm. you know, with the comments in that. So she started a podcast, and it actually, I gave her the idea, kind of like you guys, we'll talk about that, but mm-hmm. I had her as a guest, and I heard that thing, you know, there's a thing that I can, God's blessed me with being able to hear when something I think is going to be impactful, and I heard that with her, and was able to get her started, help her with production. And she does a phenomenal job. And then the latest addition And this is more of a partnership. They're not necessarily connected to the network, but Mario Esco Live, which is Mario Esco, a young brother that has a live Facebook, live YouTube, and he turns it into a podcast. And they're all connected to us. And with them, I do the same thing, more of a guide or a lead in helping them, you know, orchestrate, you know, their schemes as far as content and as far as marketing, things like that. But Mario's a genius anyway. So, you know, my little added is not that much. But and then one more. A lot of people don't know about this. Recently, I took on a secular podcast. I'm the sole producer and post-production marketing for a podcast called Financial Fancy. And a young lady reached out to me, pretty much had the idea for the podcast. I thought it was a great idea. And she records, and I do, like I do with you guys, the post-production and create the
marketing stuff. So according to Ariel, you spoil her too then.
Well, I guess so. I guess so.
Bro, that is amazing. I knew you did a number of them, and I listened to near about everybody on the network. I've heard some of their stuff. The Mario Esco, I've heard his stuff. I don't think I've heard the last one you mentioned on the financial piece deal. I haven't heard that one, but all the other ones I've heard, man, and there's some great shows, man. They put in some great work, do some great things. I'm a little bit biased in that, man. I love getting a chance to work with Daryl and what we do and the unique kind of chemistry that we have and what we do. And man, kind of if you would, and Daryl, I don't know how, you know, if you want to jump in here as well, but kind of speak to one of the things I would love to know is, and this is as part of the story that I don't know. And that is, when you guys first hooked up, what was that experience like, Daryl? What was going on in your mind? I know, because I remember right after Dwayne had interviewed you, and he kind of hit me up, said, "Hey, man, there's this dude, Daryl. Man, he's on fire. You guys kind of have a unique kind of flow. There's some chemistry. I was kind of teeing it up." And then I waited for the interview to come out, and then I heard it, and I went, "Oh my word!" I thought I definitely want to talk to this brother. And Dwayne was kind enough to let me circle back with you, and then we just hit it off. But before, I want to go to before that happened, where when Dwayne reached out to you, kind of what you were thinking when you got the call. Hey, I want to interview you. What that whole part was like? That's a part of the story I don't think I really know anything about.
Yeah, I'm actually going to throw this back to Dwayne in a second, because I don't know that I recall all the specifics as accurately as he probably does. Because I think he reached out to me, and the way I recall it, and Dwayne, you correct me if I'm wrong on any of this, but I think you may have hit me up on Facebook via Messenger. It was my initial contact with Dwayne, and I don't know if it was something that Dwayne saw just from my general Facebook post, or if there was a blog article that he read that sort of triggered that idea to invite me on to his bar podcast show. So I'm going to throw it over to Dwayne. Dwayne, why don't you give some background, man? And I'll chime in where I think I might add some color to that, but. What's the genesis of the story, man, from, you know, as you remember it?
Gotcha. So, honestly, the thing that caught my attention was the article about the woke church. That was a blog that was floating around. And I did hit you on Facebook, but you didn't respond right away. No shade, but, it was actually Brother McKinley that actually circled back around, because, you know, I kind of, you know, was early in the game, and, you know, it was kind of like I hit and I was going here, going there. And McKinley hit me up and was like, "Hey, you know, man, you got to check Daryl out. Have you read his blog?" I was like, "Yeah, man, I like the blog. I want to get him on." And I think he actually orchestrated us talking through maybe text, because I actually remember our first conversation. We actually talked through text a few times, and then I asked her to call. And then because I think you were a little hesitant which, you know, it made sense, a lot of sense later because of, you know, personality and, you know, the things you post and how people.
Can I explain why that was? Sure. Let me explain why I was a little bit hesitant. It had nothing to do with Dwayne at all, but people may be shocked to learn this about me, but I'm really pretty much an introvert. Mm-hmm. I don't like to be out front. I think I'm much more comfortable expressing my thoughts through writing and mm-hmm. not having to interact directly with people. I know I'm being a little bit transparent here, but I wanted to make sure folks understood the context of why I was initially hesitant about the idea, not only of coming on and doing an interview with Dwayne, but then later on with his idea about partnering with Omaha on a pod. Well, he was Virgil then. He wasn't the Omaha star that he is now. But yeah, my natural inclination is to stay in the background. I really don't like being out front. I'm much more comfortable just voicing my thoughts in writing and expressing them that way. So that's what the hesitancy was about initially.
Right. Yeah. And I get that. My job is dealing with people. So I knew, and honestly, just like, when I had Costi Hinn on, he wanted a phone conversation prior to the interview, just to make sure it wasn't like a setup or anything like that. So I got that. And I remember the phone conversation. I was actually at my, my daughter's godparents' house in their living room. And, you know, I gave it a spiel and I started name dropping and I got a couple of oohs and ahs. I was like, all right, I think I got them now. And we were able to set it up. And that first show, you know, I had you on. It was a great show. I got a lot of feedback, a lot of feedback from it. I was sending it to different brothers and still, I think it's still one of the highest, downloaded shows on my podcast, which says a lot. And like Virgil said, I heard a lot of the things that Virgil was saying, like in our circle, you were saying those same things. And then I also, I knew the background was similar, both from ex-military, you know, that mindset of being on point, being sharp, you know, and it was just that feeling like, like, you know, that would be a nice duo. Mm-hmm. Because originally, Virgil, you probably remember this. When I started the bar, the whole thing was supposed to be all of us getting on and talking. And there's a lot of people in the bar, I guess the bar team. We started out of the Be Not Deceived Facebook page. Mm-hmm. And we did blog talk radio and we did all these controversial topics. And then when we started the bar, it was supposed to be all of us talking, but everybody got busy. And so I just kind of went solo and built this thing up. Mm-hmm. And I always my objective from the start, man, was to get it to a place where I can pull my brothers and sisters up that's been rocking with me, give them a place to go, you know, build my audience. So here, this is somebody for your taste. This is your taste. So I thought a perfect opportunity, not only to get Daryl's voice out there, which I knew needed to be heard, and also bring Virgil, a guy that's been, you know, a brother, you know, a guiding voice, and, you know, a brother that I cared a lot about, get him also in a place where he could be heard and chime in like that, man. And I remember it so well because it's a fine memory, man, because the show when you and Virgil and Daryl did together, that mm-hmm. was a great show. And that was just like, okay, this is something. Yeah. And that's when I hit you up, Daryl, about actually doing a podcast. And that's when you really got introvert on me.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Here's what's funny. And I'll chime in here because I listened to that show that you all did. And I was going, yeah, there's definitely more that I wanted to dive. Cause for the bar, man, you've got a very specific format that you consistently mm-hmm. use. So everybody that you bring through, and you've brought through some incredible people, and with some, you know, some incredible, you talked about name dropping. I mean, you could drop the big guns, and they've all been on. And you know, and I think I was really impressed when I heard Al Mohler said, you're not just bringing people to the bar, you're raising the bar. And I thought, good night, man. He's got the man from the briefing on there. I mean, just some incredible voices. And And then to hear Daryl on, and I thought, man, I would love to team up. Unlike Daryl, I had kind of come from the other side of the coin. Mm-hmm. I admire writers.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
I'm not a great writer. I can write, but I'm not a great writer. I'm more of a talker. I'd rather be not necessarily. I don't have to be out front, but I don't mind being in that space. I have no problem, you know, opening my mouth and going for it and then thinking I probably shouldn't have said what I just said. so it's one of the, and I had done what's called terrestrial radio, back in the day. I was on a urban, station doing, I was the lone conservative voice on a very liberal station. And, I had a lot of fun doing that, kind of playing the bad guy. And I did that for politics. And so toward the end of my time there, I really had gotten a hold of biblical worldview and started trying to insert that. And shortly thereafter, the show kind of went by the wayside. So I'd had a little bit of experience in that space, but not a ton, and had done work with you kind of on the podcast side of the house. And when I heard Daryl, like you, Dwayne, I knew my thought was this guy's voice has got to get out there, mm-hmm. And more spaces and places. And my thought was, I'm used to playing the front guy role. However, with the time constraints that I have, with what I've got going on, and two, with what I believe was just a primary voice that needed to be heard, it was real easy for me to come alongside Daryl after we talked. We did the interview, and I just felt like an immediate connection, like I hadn't had with anybody that I've done radio or anything else with. And I thought I could rock with this dude. And I think, Daryl, I even remember telling you, I said, man, if you ever decide, and I knew Dwayne was kind of was kind of prodding you, I said, brother, if you ever decide to do something, and I could come alongside to help amplify whatever you want to do, man, let me know, because I'd be happy to do it. So that's kind of how things got started. Anything you want to add to that, brother?
Yeah, you know. So let me just add for folks, because you know you mentioned earlier, Omaha, that we do have. We're getting new listeners every day. Mm. And I just want to explain that the Just Thinking podcast was born out of a blog that I had by the same name. I still have it. I still write for the blog. It's called justthinking.me. You can get to the blog at justthinking.me. And the podcast is an extension of that blog. So the article that Dwayne mentioned earlier was a piece that I wrote, the title of which was How Woke Theology is Weakening the Black Church. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's the article you're referring to, Dwayne. I've written so many articles around the whole social justice issue, woke theology, but I think that's the one you're talking about. So just so folks know, the reason we call the podcast Just Thinking is because it's an extension of my blog, the full title of which is Just Thinking for Myself. So that's mm-hmm. the blog title, but you can get to the blog at justthinking.me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And see, that's always been my method. I never wanted to take you, Daryl, pull you out of something and put you in, you know, a new, different, you know, whatever. I wanted to take what you had and I knew that's another way I could sell you, just to be honest. But I wanted to take what you had.
Now it's all coming out.
Yeah, it's coming out now, man. Yeah. But I wanted to take what you already had and had established and just extend it even further to an even further reach. Because, you know, I'm not a writer. And I mean, just to be real transparent and honest, as much as I am reformed in my theology, I don't typically enjoy reading that much. So I'm a listener. Like I listen to podcasts, audiobook, whatever. So for that demographic, and then knowing the landscape of the podcast world, like this, I'm telling you, this medium is next level. That's the future. I tell people that all the time. As we go more into automation and voice stuff and things like that, podcast is going to surpass TV, is going to surpass, you know, regular radio stations, because we're becoming a culture that wants everything on demand. Netflix is a thing because you can watch a show when you want to watch it. And you don't have to wait for the 30-minute commercial. You don't have to hear all the, you know, and with radio, you don't, with podcasts, you don't have to hear all the used car commercials or whatever, whatever. But it's where our culture is going as, you know, as Americans, even all over the world. We got listeners literally all over the world for Just Thinking and for The Bar and for a lot, literally all over the world. And I saw that, man. And I thought like this really could be something. And then also before we, I guess, transition anything else, another thing that really gave me a passion about bringing this forward was what you guys were saying about social justice, about, you know, cultural things, worldview things. We haven't heard that side. There was a lot of YouTube videos and a lot of podcasts of people coming from the other side of social justice, people coming from the victim mentality, people coming from the, you know, and not to name names, but they had the voice and that's all people heard. But Just Thinking, I was like, hey, this is, and Virgil knows me, I love Against the Grain. Like, I literally have a Facebook called Be Not Deceived that we literally, we love Against the Grain. So when I heard that, I was like, this is our chance to bring our voice to the platform and so people don't think that all black people think like this. Oh, there's here's some black guys, they think different, you know? Yeah. So all of that stuff motivated me to get this podcast started, man.
Man, that's awesome.
Yeah, you know, when you think about what you were just talking about, you know, being reformed in your theology, I mean, to have three black reformed Christian men, here we are sharing the mic, sharing the platform on the Just Thinking podcast. I think reformed theology is making significant inroads with Christians who are black. I don't know if reformed theology is penetrating the historical, the traditional black church, the theology of the black church as a whole. But I think from an individual standpoint, platforms like podcasting, social media has given, has provided outlets for individuals like us to share with others who, especially black Christians who aren't reformed, share with them what reformed theology is, how it came to be that we embrace reformed theology. So I appreciate the fact that this podcast gives us a platform to do that. Now, we don't deliberately or in a choreographed, systematic way promote reformed theology. However, I think our longtime listeners know that they should listeners to our podcast should not be surprised if we quote the Puritans,
right?
If we quote from the Westminster Confession, if we quote from the Belgic or Heidelberg Catechism, they shouldn't be surprised at that because that's what we do, and it's not because we're reformed, but it's because those resources and those sources contain solid orthodox biblical theology. And I remember attending one of Steve Lawson's One Passion preaching seminars when I was in Atlanta a few years ago. And he just happened on the third day of the seminar. They had Dr. R.C., the late now Dr. R.C. Sproul, connect through video. And he took some Q&A from those of us who were in the classroom with Dr. Lawson. And I had the opportunity to ask Dr. Sproul a very specific question. And that question was this: to what do you attribute, Dr. Sproul, the progressiveness or the advancing of reformed theology among black Christians? And I thought Dr. Sproul gave me a brilliant answer. He said, well, reformed theology is biblical theology. It's biblical theology. So if anybody asks me why I'm reformed, it's not so much that I'm reformed. It's just that I find that reformed theology is solidly biblical, especially when you can compare to, and I know we could probably all three relate to this, how we were traditionally raised in the churches that we grew up in, the theology that we grew up in. So anyway, I just wanted to mention that we're not, the three of us being black reformed Christians isn't as much an anomaly as it was not too long ago. And for that, I'm very, very thankful. You know, it's kind of funny, Dwayne, you mentioned that you're more of an auditory learner as opposed to someone who reads a lot. I'm kind of the opposite. And it wasn't until I remember, man, when I was first exposed to expository preaching through gentlemen like John MacArthur, R.C. Sproul, and others whose names escape me at the moment. Man, once I got exposed to Reformed theology, it just kind of forced me to read. I mean, I've spent so much money on books in the past 5 years just trying to soak this stuff up. Just like you soak it up by listening, I kind of soak it up by reading.
Right.
And
beauty nowadays is that there are multiple formats by which you can gather all of this information, whether you're on YouTube, right, whether you're jumping into Ligonier and the audio accesses, access availability that you have to teaching, whether it's, someone's personal channel, GTY,
Grace to you.
I mean, there's so many platforms by which if you're not one of those guys who needs to turn the pages of a book, and you still want to learn, man, you can. In fact, now, man, when I sit down with people to disciple, I ask them what's the format that you learn best in, and that way I can know, hey, do I need to give this person a book? Do I need to punch them into a video program where they could watch someone teach? Is this something where I'm going to have to take them by the hand and do some learning kind of by the hand, where I take them on a street corner and we learn this stuff live and in concert? What's your learning style so that we can help people understand all the ways in which God desires us to know His goodness and His grace? And so I wanted to ask a question of you, Duane, with regard to kind of the metrics. Daryl alluded to it earlier. He talked about, with 218,000 downloads and counting. And again, for us, Daryl, I don't know about you. I had no thought about that, those kinds of numbers. I mean, I know it's all relative, but I thought about when we got started was, man, this brother that I just listened to, he's got a voice. I want to help him. Let's just see where this goes. I mean, I don't know if you had a thought about it or what, but I'll toss it back to you, Daryl, just to kind of comment on that as we let Duane kind of walk us through like metrics, what that signifies, what his thoughts are there. But Daryl, first, man, your thoughts about the 200K number and where we are.
Yeah. And Duane really is the one to speak to the significance of that number, because as you said, Omaha, I mean, I can't put it any more basic than this. Success, metrics, listenership, none of that was on our radar. Mm-hmm. None of that was on our radar at all. We came together, you and I came together, Omaha, trusting Duane and his expertise, given his background with, it's like the guy has a sixth sense when it comes to pairing folks up for and launching podcast, episodes and shows. But we did this, it's almost, I'll speak for myself, I was almost a little bit naive. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna be working with this brother Virgil every week. We're gonna be talking about these sociocultural, theological, political issues within the framework of what the Word of God says. And it was that simple to me.
Just
that simple. The mission statement was that simple, and everything else, it's just gravy. So when Duane mentioned this, he sort of alluded to this earlier about how we have listeners around the world. And then after we throw it back to Duane, once he wraps up his comments, I do want to go over some specific metrics to give our listeners some idea, some objective idea of what they have helped us accomplish with respect to approaching now almost 220,000 downloads of our episodes in only 16 short months. So let me toss it over to Duane so he can share the significance of that number with our listeners, and then I'll give our listeners some specific information as it relates to metrics.
Gotcha. Yeah, and so just the same as you guys, man, did not do it for, okay, I want, it was no end goal, like, can we get to 100K? Can we get to 200K? That was not the case. Cause for so long, when I was doing, you know, different audio, radio, internet stuff, you didn't get the stat, you know, like you didn't even know. So to even know, but, just kind of piggybacking on what they said, you know, the mission statement, you know, was just to bring the truth. And that was mine as well. Even though I'm into marketing and I'm into, you know, platform building and things like that. It really wasn't a goal of mine for this podcast, for my podcast, for anything that I'm connected to. And like Daryl said, it is definitely gravy on top. But when you think about 200,000 downloads, it is very significant. Because first thing you gotta throw out there is the guests. Two guys. Neither one of them are, I guess you could say, lead pastors. I know Virgil, you're a minister at your church. Mm-hmm. And neither one are best-selling authors. That's the first thing you need to let sink in, because the lead pastor has, you know, his normal flock following.
Right.
And a best-selling author has a pool of people that they've already, you know, they know their work. And so those are the two major things you got to think about when you think about 200,000 downloads. And then another dynamic you got to think about is the niche in which the podcast broadcasts. Like, we're not talking about sports. We're not talking about, you know, it's not politic driven, which, you know, sports and politics are the two major categories on iTunes when it comes to, you know, downloads, sports and podcast. I mean, sports and politics. We're not motivational speakers. That's number three. Mm-hmm. So for us to come with strict biblical worldview stuff and to produce the numbers we've produced in the amount of time that we produce, mm-hmm. that's another thing. The Bar Podcast has been on iTunes for 3 years. And we are at, I think, 190K now. Just Thinking has 16 months and we are at 213,000. That is amazing, to say the least. And really what that comes down to, number one, it comes down to relatability, your format, and then also the interaction that we have with our listeners. I watch you guys all day, as well as myself, respond to people. Thank people for listening. And this is I didn't have to tell y'all to do that. I tell other people when I'm coaching them on how to, you know, build an audience, build a niche, but I didn't have to tell y'all to do that. Y'all naturally have a love for people. You naturally are grateful to your listeners. It's not a fake, you know, gratitude where, yeah, I'm thankful, you know, whatever, just to sound like you're humble. You guys are naturally have that ability to show that humility, as well as relate to your listeners, and that in itself make them feel like they're a part of it. And that's the whole Bar Podcast brand is about, a community, making people feel a part. That's why people buy stuff with your podcast name on it, my podcast name on it, because when they put it on, they feel like they're a part of the community, because we bring it to them real. We like I tell you, when I'm editing y'all shows, it's like I'm listening to two cousins of mine, you know, talking about an issue. And that's the same relationship that we built with our listeners. And word of mouth is what helped us get to these numbers, amazing numbers. And before you get into the specifics, I want to throw out there, man, you know, the Just Thinking podcast does not have a sponsor yet. If you're listening, and if you have a ministry or anything, think about the number of people you can expose to your ministry, to your book. You know, we're going to be selective. We're not just going to, you know, promote anything, but we will accept sponsors. Definitely hit Daryl up on that. He'll give you the details. But think about a way that you can touch so many folks, and not just, and here's the thing, these aren't ghost followers. If you look on like Instagram, Twitter, sometimes people have ghost followers. And how you know? Because when they post something, they'll get 5 likes, but they'll have 20,000 followers. Mm-hmm. That those are ghost followers. They're not engaged. They're not, you know, they're not a part of it. When we post on the new Just Thinking Twitter page, I mean, people respond, people comment. When Daryl retweets it, you know, it's a lot of back and forth. So this is legitimate, organic listeners that are actually downloading the podcast. And so here's another thing, Daryl, that we got to take in consideration. Downloads don't count streams. We may be even further, because I don't download all the podcasts I listen to because I'm online. You know, I just stream it and it goes on. So there may be even more listeners than 200K, you know, that just aren't downloading. You know, even the dog got excited about that
one. I was going to say, we got a listener in the background. We need to count.
Yes, sir. But that I think that's amazing, man. And it says a lot about what we got going on, and definitely all glory to God for all of it.
Amen, Dwayne, man. That's great. And let me give our listeners a little bit of an idea of the global, which really is a global reach for listeners to the Just Thinking podcast. So I'm going to run down. First of all, I'm going to give the top 10 international. Okay, top 10 international countries for the Just Thinking podcast, and then I'm going to roll into the top 10 domestic United States markets for the Just Thinking podcast. So this is with respect to downloads now, because as you made a great point, Dwayne, we probably have significantly more listeners than the download numbers tell us. So as we record this episode on June 6th, 2019. We are exactly at 213,951 downloads. But like you said, that doesn't count streams. Okay. Right. So let me give the top 10 countries as it relates to downloads for the Just Thinking podcast. The number one, as you can imagine, the United States. Number two is Canada. Number three is the United Kingdom. Number four is Australia. Number five is South Africa. Then there's Nigeria at number six, New Zealand at number seven, Germany at eight, Jamaica at nine, and then number 10, they lump all the other countries into a category called others. So those are our top 10 international markets in terms of download. Now, here are the top 10 metro areas in the United States as it relates to downloads. Okay, top 10 metro areas. This is not top 10 listenership. Okay. This is top 10 downloads, metro areas in the United States. Number one, Dallas, Fort Worth, Texas. I don't know what's going on out in Dallas. I don't know that we have a special level of relatability out in Dallas, Texas, but Dallas, Texas, Dallas, Fort Worth is our number one metro area, metro market in the United States. Number two is LA. Los Angeles, California is number two. My hometown, ATL. Number three, Washington, D.C. Number four, Chicago, Illinois. Number five, New York City. Number six, Minneapolis, St. Paul. Number seven, and then Houston, Texas. Number eight, and then rounding out is Raleigh, Durham, North Carolina. Dwayne, you got anything to do with that? Whoop, Raleigh, whoop. Durham coming in the top 10?
Hey, you already know, man. Tar Heel State, baby.
So anyway, I just want the listeners to, because this episode really is all about the listeners and our opportunity to thank the listeners and show our appreciation for you all in helping us achieve a milestone that we never even considered, thought of, dreamed about. Nope. It was nowhere on our radar. Our focus, and still every week, notwithstanding these numbers, our focus is to glorify God, number one, by providing sound, biblically accurate content every week, regardless of the issue that we're talking about. And I don't say this to blow either my horn, Omaha's horn, or Dwayne's horn. But we work really, really hard to prep for every single episode. And that is not, again, not to pat ourselves on the back, but because we appreciate you guys so much. You guys are the ones, and I thought Dwayne made a great point earlier. Virgil and I are not household names. We're not authors. We're not lead pastors. We don't give TED Talks. You know, we're not motivational speakers. We don't have a built-in audience. None of that. You know, you guys don't know us from anyone, but you stuck with us for 16 months, and that's a sign of trust as far as we're concerned. And these days, trust, it not only is trust hard to come by, it's hard to maintain. It's hard to foster a relationship of trust like you have, like your listeners have with us. So we work hard for you. We put in multiple hours a week getting ready for each 1 to 2 hour episode each week. So we just want to say thank you guys. This is an opportunity for us to say thank you.
Absolutely.
We did want you guys to meet Dwayne's kind of like the Wizard of Oz, right? Omaha. He's kind of mm-hmm. like the man behind the curtain that mm-hmm. nobody sees.
Right.
That makes us look good when right. each episode is released. But
he even brought in the Hammond B3, man. That's all post production. People think I got a button. I don't have a button, man. That's Dwayne in post production, man.
Dude, this is low budget. we don't have Virgil doesn't have a button. I don't have a button. This nope. is all Dwayne. So when you hear the Hammond B3 and Omaha, we sort of adopted the Hammond B3 as the official mascot.
The mascot, right. Yes, sir.
So when you hear us, if listeners hear us, they'll hear one of us say, "Cue the mascot." That's what we need. Cue the Hammond B3.
Yeah. Get your cue to the Hammond B3 t-shirts at the bar gear.com.
Dwayne, ever the marketer.
Man, I'm telling you, listen, after every show, he finds a little saying or something that we do redundantly, and it's on a t-shirt or a hat or something, man. It's crazy. Hey, I wanted to ask a couple more questions, man, and just to kind of get you guys' thoughts on, from a standpoint of the episode that was your favorite so far, the episode that you like the most. We've got what this will be, you know, episode number 80. What was the episode of all that we've done thus far that you guys, Daryl, I'll start with you, man, that you enjoyed kind of the most? What was the one for you?
I think the one I enjoyed the most, man, I have to go back a little bit. I think it had to be the episode we did, Biblical Theology of Soul Food.
Mm.
I think that's probably, you know, mm-hmm. it's tough to, and I use the word favorite in air quotes, okay, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. because I have so many episodes, man, that have just enriched me and just spoken to me just from the standpoint of how we ended up managing that topic. But the one we did on a biblical theology of soul food, I think that might have been the one that kind of put us on the map a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And just to give some backstory on that, I had made a comment on Facebook. It was a political comment of a political nature where I listed, I think facetiously, top five things that black conservatives are either permitted to do or not do by black liberals. And one of those items that I listed was just to kind of throw people for a loop. I mentioned in that post that I don't like soul food because that's another stereotype that many black people have to sort of resist and sort of debunk, you know. But I happen to say on Facebook, no, I don't like soul food. And now remember, that's just one thing that I said amongst several other thoughts that I shared in that same post.
Right.
But in that post, I got over 430 responses to that one post.
Right.
All of them criticizing, lambasting me, man, denigrating me because I have the nerve to be black from the South and not like soul food.
Right. Right.
I said, okay. So it's like that. All right.
It's like, okay, bring it. Right.
I think I hit you up, Virgil, and I said, okay, no, we're going to have to deal with this.
Right.
Because, you know, it's okay to not like certain things just right. because you fit a certain, at least externally, because you fit a certain stereotype. That doesn't mean you fit the stereotype. So right. what do we do, Omaha? What do we say on every episode? Well, we go to the Word of God and see what the Word of God says about it.
Absolutely. This. Absolutely.
So I remember what we did was we went all the way back to, I think it was Genesis 10, where we talked about, we exposited the dispersion of the peoples around the world as a result of the disobedience at the Tower of Babel.
Mm-hmm.
We used that account to exposit how we got the different cultures, the different right. types of food, the different right. types of music. And that, I think still today, that's one of our more popular episodes. So if you're asking me what my favorite is, there's really no favorite, but that one right there, kind of stands out because that's the one that kind of put us on the map.
That's good. That's good. You really, when that particular episode kind of dropped, if you follow the trajectory from there, we really began to deal with a lot of the tribalism that seems to impact Black communities and culture. And how you know, we are forced now as a result to think a certain way, to operate a certain way. There's kind of natural expectation. And when you don't fit that mold, how the people who are part of the tribe are the ones that actually come on the most vicious attack.
Right.
And so that's
the norm for folks like us, for the three of us. That's the norm. I've said many, many times, and Dwayne, you and Omaha can echo this. The most heat I take personally,
right,
is from people who look like me,
right.
And they offer that vitriol because I don't think like them. I don't fit the tribalist stereotype, the tribalist template, you might say.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always wondered to myself, why is it that within America, Black people are the only ethnic group, the only ethnic bloc, where it's a bad thing to think for yourself?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's still that case today. Here we are in 2019. So the people who have called me some of the most pejorative names that you can think of,
right,
are people who look like me for no other reason than that I don't see the world as they do.
Right.
So you're right.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to close this out and just say, you're right, Omaha. That episode on a biblical theology of soul food, unbeknownst to us,
right,
kind of started us off on that road to addressing these sociocultural issues, especially. And I think as those episodes that we did that addressed those sociocultural issues began to come out every week, word of mouth kind of spread to say, hey, these guys might be somebody you guys might want to listen to.
Yeah, absolutely. Dwayne, you got to kind of be up close and personal on a whole nother level with regard to near about every single show that we've dropped as you know, are involved in post-production. And so of the shows, man, that you've heard, and I know you've heard all of them at least once, if not more than that. What was a standout show for you, man? What stood out for you?
So I'm gonna go. I got two, maybe three that comes to mind. Mm-hmm. My first one, no particular order, would be the Black Panther one.
Wow!
What was that? The Pantherization.
Panthericization of Black Christians.
Yeah, the Pantherization of Black Christians. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it came out right around the time of the movie. Mm-hmm. Timing was perfect. You know, my timeline was blowing up with everybody in their African gear and all of that.
Funny, isn't it, how that fad just kind of faded out.
Faded out. But yeah, that one was really cool, and you know I'm partial to the endings because I have a lot to do with that, because you know we ended with Daryl's favorite group on that one.
We closed it out with Toto. We closed it out with Toto Africa.
Yeah. So that was a
stroke of genius. That was on a my great part. One.
Yeah, that was all Daryl. That was all Daryl for sure. He's always pushing the copyright envelope. Like, all right, Daryl, we get bigger now. They're going to come looking for us.
Oh, man. I know, right?
Oh, man. And then number two, because of the response was just tremendous, had to be the one on whiteness. One was another one that I really enjoyed.
We're still getting emails on the whiteness one, man.
Yes. I know.
Yes.
Yeah. And reviews. Yeah. You get a lot of reviews on the whiteness one. And that one, you know, because content wise, I mean, you guys are solid every week. I love that. And that's, you know, why we do what we do. So, you know, my picks are, you know, I guess different reasons. Like I said, the Black Panther was timing. Whiteness was the response from the community. Mm-hmm. That's why it's one of my top ones. And then number three, and like I said, this is no order, but number three, actually goes to you, Virgil, the abortion one. Ooh, yeah. It was right on time. It was, you know, very well put together. A lot of comments followed. You know, we ended, you know, somebody said I put the altar call music at the mm-hmm, end, you know, with mm-hmm. the testimonial. So those are the three episodes that stuck out to me, and I advise the listeners, especially new listeners, to go back and check those out. So V, give us your favorite show or shows.
I will have to say, man, and you guys, I'm shocked that this hasn't come up already, but because it really put us, at least here for me, in the area where I'm at, kind of on the radar screen, and that was the MLK 50 show.
Oh, that was
yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And it got the most downloads. Yeah. I think we got some
up until the reparations one.
Oh yeah. Wow! Yeah, yeah. Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Reparations is the number one downloaded episode.
I did not know that. Yeah, I didn't know.
I think reparations, whiteness. And then the one we did on socialism was
I was going to say socialism was huge. Yeah, socialism was huge. I really, really enjoyed that. But the MLK 50 one was the one that there were pastors in my city who reached out after that episode dropped. And they had, hey, let's have coffee. I'd like to talk about some of what you know, your thoughts about that, about the, you know, theologically where you land. I mean, so we had some interesting conversations and engagements that came from that. And so,
first, can I say something real quick? On MLK 50.
Yep. Yep.
Because what was interesting about the MLK 50, and this doesn't happen often to Omaha and me, but it does happen relatively frequently. The MLK 50 episode was an episode that we did by demand from the listeners.
Mm-hmm.
We had, oh my gosh, overwhelming requests, a number of requests, because Virgil and I were not going to touch that issue.
Mm-hmm.
We had, he and I had both, we were both well aware, well versed on mm-hmm. Some of the messages that were given at that event. And it was because of the controversial nature of what was said by a lot of people at that event that we weren't going to touch it. We were just going to stay out of it. We're going to stay clear, maybe watch it from a distance. But we had so many people reach out to us asking us to deal with that topic, to address that topic. So that's where the MLK 50 episode came from. That's one of those episodes that we did by request, by demand from our listeners. And it turned out to be one of the most downloaded episodes that we've ever had.
Mm-hmm. What was fun about that one was one of the things that I respected coming out of that one, Daryl, was the manner in which you know, you in particular, and we decided to handle that. The topic, the subject matter, and the brothers who theologically on particular issues we disagreed with, but we weren't it wasn't vitriolic, you know, it wasn't a name drop and then you know, gut punch. It was, hey, yeah,
we didn't name a single name. We didn't name a single person by name in the entirety of that episode.
No.
But they knew you was talking about them because I lost a interview because of that episode from somebody that we didn't name. That
interesting.
Was the orchestration of it. And yeah, I'm not going to name them either. But yeah, I had them set up. And after that show, they declined.
Ah, yeah. Interesting. Thanks, guys.
See, well, it's like Diedrich Bonhoeffer says, Dwayne, that's the cost of discipleship.
Right? That's the
wrote a whole book about it. I'm thinking right about now, Mom, I'm thinking Dwayne is regretting coming on the show.
Not at all.
Got a whole book about it. So, here's the thing about that, man. I loved how we navigated that. What was where we went. And here's the thing about that, man. I remember that now that you bring that up. I remember the kind of the back and forth with regard to that, Dwayne. And our hope would have been that that the interview was kept, and that mm-hmm. you got a chance to. I mean, we man, Daryl and I both, man, we never run away from subject matter, people who disagree, whether you find us on Twitter or Facebook, or I mean, we're not nobody's running here. Nobody's, you know, we ain't scared. You know, we say what we mean. We're open. Man, to hear in a different point of view, but man, we're going to land on things from a biblical perspective. Yep. I'll say this, man, and I'll ask another question just kind of as we begin to kind of wrap things up. And that is, one of the things that I have so enjoyed, man, and I'm Daryl, I'm not trying to blow you up, man, but just to, I want to articulate this in a way, especially for our listeners to hear. One of the things that I've thoroughly enjoyed, and has been a stretch for me, I am much more confident, comfortable, taking a topic, kind of writing some bullets and rolling. And it's easier for me to do. And I think one of the reasons why our combo has the, you know, the connectivity that it does, the people who really enjoy what we do is because of the fact, man, you're so well versed and studied on what you do and how you mark things out. It's forced me to have to do even deeper dives of study, between the two of you, where Daryl, I think you're going to be more in a book. Dwayne, you're going to be more, hey, let me hear someone teach me on a, you know, in an audio format. I'm somewhere right down the middle. I can land in some books and hang out there for a good while, but I could also grab a teaching on video or you know, or listen to something and gain that way. So I'm kind of in between. But man, it's been awesome for me to see how much, Daryl, you do dive deep into some of these topics and issues and subjects and bring context to us from vantage points that I would not have initially thought to bring it. I'll give you kind of case in point with regard to the reparations deal. I had all kinds of thoughts about social justice and reparations, and kind of had my ideas around that. And when you dropped the slave narrative in there and read from the actual narrative of slaves who were walking through, and it was gut punching, it was jaw dropping. I mean, my heart, as I'm listening to you, even knowing kind of where you're gonna go, I'm still listening to it with my heart just coming out of my chest, having to kind of regather my thoughts. And so it's those kinds of thoughtful, studied gut punches that cause me to go, okay, I know when he and I get into this on this podcast, you know, I've got to make sure I've got my A game and I've done my homework, and that I know how to bring more texture out of what you're saying than what you're going to bring. So it's been a blessing for me in that it's caused a more respect for in-depth study. It's helped me to kind of sharpen my sword, and as much as I've had experience in the past with regard to, radio and things like that, this has been another level of just deepening for me as I've applied what I know to do to the study of scripture, to how we explain what it is we believe and why we believe it. So, I mean, that part of it has been really, really awesome, awesome to experience. So I appreciate that a bunch.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, Omaha. That's very humbling. You know, as I listen to you there, I'm reminded of a text of scripture in Mark chapter 7, which, of course, I'm going to quote from the non-Arminian Standard Bible translation.
Hey, you know, before you say that new app, literal word, yeah, I told them about that. Oh, they thought that was hilarious. They thought that was just the best thing ever, for sure. I had them on the show. That was pretty good.
Yeah. So in Mark chapter 7 verse 37, this is speaking of Jesus here, it says they were utterly astonished, saying, he has done all things well. Speaking of Jesus, he's done all things well. Now, the reason I bring that text up, because you just listening to you just a second ago, Omaha, you know, I don't deserve any of the credit other than to say, and I think I will say this to both of you as well, our desire on this podcast is to glorify God. Mm-hmm. And if we're going to glorify the God who gave his life for us on the cross, for us wretches, for us miserable sinners, if he was willing to do that for me, then we have to do every episode well.
Mm-hmm.
We have to do all things well. We have mm-hmm. to prepare. We have to prepare well. We have to present our arguments well. We have to present our theses well. We have to do, I didn't say perfectly, I said well. So I think we're all just motivated by that same desire to do all things well. And just to go back to the reparations episode just for a second, Omaha, you know, I think that episode, again, helped to break down some stereotypical barriers, because for folks who don't walk in our shoes every day, they don't really get to appreciate, they don't really have an affinity for what I call the intra-ethnic racism that is present, that is prevalent, not just present, it's prevalent among Black people, towards mm-hmm. Black people. So when I say intra-ethnic, that's within that one ethnicity, that there is ethnic discrimination, ethnic prejudice, ethnic bias among Black people toward other Black people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that reparations episode helped to chip away at that, because there's a notion out there that Black people who are conservative, either socially, fiscally, or both, even theologically, that Black people have no appreciation whatsoever for Black history.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, and maybe you can say the same thing, Omaha, and maybe to you as well, Dwayne, to a certain degree. We've had to fight that stereotype for years. I mean, even today, as we record this episode, that stereotype still exists. And I've said many, many times, in my personal library, I have more books on the subject of slavery than any other subject, with the exception of theology. I have more books on slavery than any other subject except that one. The only difference between Black conservatives and Black liberals as it relates to that topic, from a Black history standpoint, is that we don't go around boasting and bragging about and complaining about what happened in the past.
Right.
We don't, exactly. Listen, I know about Dred Scott. I know about the Stono slave uprising.
Mm-hmm.
So I took that opportunity for the reparations episode to put some context around this issue of slavery, black slavery in America, to put a broader framework around there by going back to folks who were actually slaves and who, if they were alive today, had a right to demand reparations.
Mm-hmm.
None of us have that right. Just
right.
Because you're Black, that doesn't mean you have a right to reparations. So why not go to the source? So mm-hmm. I was really inspired to read those slave narratives. I probably have 30 volumes of slave narratives, either in hard copy physical books or as ebooks on my iPad.
Mm.
So this was not some fly by night subject that I'm not familiar with. Okay. So reading those slave narratives, I had Phil Johnson come to my office a couple of days after he listened to that episode. Phil Johnson, who many of our listeners may know, is the executive director at Grace to You. Phil Johnson came into my office and said, while he was listening to those narratives, brought tears to his eyes.
Mm-hmm.
So I had those narratives help to put some people in their place who are out here demanding reparations based on the fact, not their own personal suffrage, but they were leveraging, they were writing a check on the backs of other people's suffrage.
Mm-hmm.
So you can probably hear my voice right now. Yeah, I got a little righteously indignant about that.
Right.
B3.
So Yeah, that episode on reparations.
Yeah,
that one right there. That one, if there was one episode where I really spilled my heart out,
mm-hmm.
it was that one.
Yeah, yeah, big time. Big time. Well, brother, I want to kind of wrap us up in this way, man. And I appreciate you sharing what you did and Dwayne, for you for coming on, man. And even in thinking about each of us coming together, I mean, you, Darryl, you're on the West Coast, Dwayne, you're yep. on the East Coast. Mm-hmm. And here I am in the center of the country here in Omaha. I mean, this takes some doing just to get all three of us together. At the same time. And so definitely want to wrap the episode with kind of thanking the listeners for their continued support. But before we do that, I just want to, there have been so many things that have happened as a result of the show, of folks who've listened. Darryl, I know you've been on with Ali B. Stuckey. We've had the Urban Family Network that Urban Family Talk Network that have had us on as a part. I mean, there's been so many opportunities that have come as a result of just thinking and as a result of our fans sharing this podcast with others, man. Is there any particular event that's taken place that's kind of got you just kind of jaw dropped at what we've experienced as a result of being in this platform?
Wow. That's a good question. That's a mm-hmm. good question. I mean, the podcast has definitely opened doors, not only that we didn't expect, but that we didn't even know existed. So, I mean, mm-hmm. you know, I know, Virgil, you've got some speaking engagements coming up.
Mm-hmm.
I've got some things scheduled that have nothing to do with Grace to You, but have been presented to me, you know, solely by virtue of folks listening to the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, again, I'm thankful for, you know, it's kind of like that saying, you know, when I eat, we all eat. So. But
yes, sir.
These are opportunities that I'm so thankful to the Lord for, because you, within the confusion of this social cultural milieu, especially as it relates to the social justice and woke theology and how that's impacting the church and dividing us
mm-hmm.
the way it is, these are opportunities for us to get out there and tell the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, nothing's changed from when Jesus walked this earth. What he said in Mark chapter 1, verse 15 is still the case today. Repent and believe in the gospel. That is the only solution to any of these ills that we either address on the podcast or we may speak to in front of a live audience at a church or somewhere else. That is the only solution. All these external efforts and resources that we're seeking and looking to accomplish only what the gospel can accomplish is futile. It's mm-hmm. a waste of time.
Mm-hmm.
You must change hearts. Hearts must change. And
that's
you
right.
don't change heart. You don't protest anybody into a change of heart. I can tell you that right now.
That's a tweet right there.
You know, you don't protest anybody into a change of heart. That's not mm-hmm. happening.
Mm-hmm.
So to whatever degree the Lord continues to use this platform, the Just Thinking Podcast, we are so thankful. We're so humbled. None of this was expected. I mean, I just have to reiterate that Virgil and I, we get on the we get behind these microphones every Sunday, and you know, we convey to you what we believe the Word of God is saying, the objective truth of the Word of God is saying about a particular issue. When we're done, Dwayne does his thing. He gets the episode out to you guys. We don't expect. Matter of fact, if anything, Virgil and I talk more about the disagreement we're going to get from folks
right.
who listen to us.
We're
not up here platting ourselves on the back, you know, counting platitudes or looking for folks to laud us. We say, man, this is going to cause some trouble, or this is going to make us some enemies or something like that. But you know, however the Lord wants to continue to use us, I'm thankful for the opportunity. So thank you, listeners. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Every single one of you. We couldn't have done this without you.
Dwayne, yes, any last words you got, man?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. This is the part I enjoy, because you guys are so humble and modest. So to the listeners, Just Thinking Broadcast Podcast, we love it. We know you love it. We have a what is it called? Patreon. We have a Patreon that if you want to give to help support us, that's available. It's in the show notes at thebargear.com. You can get Just Thinking on almost anything you want. I don't have underwear yet, but all of that's available to promote the podcast. You already do an excellent job of doing that, but also to do it in your community. We have that available. Those links are in the show notes. And then, you know, to those potential sponsors, you know, hit up Daryl B. Harrison at gmail.com for those opportunities. Because these guys, they so focus on the gospel and the truth and giving you biblical perspective. They're not going to mention this stuff every week. So this is my opportunity to let you guys know that this stuff is available for you. We get messages about, you know, how can they be a service? You know, prayer is definitely number one, and we need that. We accept that. We take that over anything. But you also can support us on with the Patreon, as well as the buying the gear, as well as, here's another great one, leaving a review. Going to iTunes, going to even on our actual website, sending us a message, the retweets, those are worth billions of dollars. So we're just grateful, man, just to be able to bring this to you. And I'm just grateful that the guy is able to orchestrate this in a way. You know, these guys try to give me a lot of credit for bringing this together, man. But at the end of the day, it's all God, man, that put it in my heart to make this even possible. And I'm thankful for them, thankful to him, and thankful to you listeners.
Hey, as we wrap up another edition of Just Thinking, let me add my thanks to you who listen and subscribe to the podcast, and just say thanks. It's an absolute joy to get on Twitter, on Facebook, to get messages of encouragement. Man, we even enjoy those folks who come on from time to time and have something crazy to say. All of that stuff is to the glory of God. We enjoy it. We look forward to it. Had no idea we'd be where we are. Have no idea where God's gonna take things. But man, we're definitely open for the ride. Thankful to Dwayne for putting us together. I'm thankful to you, Daryl, for, man, allowing me to come alongside you and play Robin to your Batman. And it's been an awesome journey. Looking forward to wherever God would take us next. And until then, join us next time for another edition of the Just Thinking Podcast.